now as never before, we need to understand the true science of education. If we fail to understand this, we shall never have a place in the kingdom of God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If this is the price of heaven, shall not our education be conducted along these lines? Now, as never before, we need to understand what? The true science of education. How important is it? If we fail to understand this, we shall never have a place in the kingdom of God. Now, this is a statement that triggered the Reformation and the work that started self-supporting work. This came out in the Christian Educator, our educational journal, in August 1897, and came from Ellen White, who was at that time in Australia. Christian Educator, August 1897. As far as I know, it's never been in any of her publications. However, it is the introductory thought in Dr. Sutherland's book, Principles of Christian Education, True Principles of Christian Education. You know, when I started out with this series of studies, I suppose I was a little nonchalant in thinking, well, we just put together a history of self-supporting work as it began and as it has been carried on. But the more I'm studying into this, the more I have delved into the principles, we're dealing with something very vital. And I want to read a statement that's been really bombarding my mind the last couple of days. I want to quote first one of the first statements that I gave, and that was the one from Life Sketches. I'm sure you all can quote it, all of those of you who've been Adventists and been educators for many years. Now as never before, and we need to we have nothing to fear from the future, except we, as we forget the way the Lord has led us and His teachings in our past history. You remember that statement? This has been quoted over and over again. We have nothing to fear for the future except as we forget the way the Lord has led us and the teachings in our past history. Now, I take from that we do have something to fear if we what? If we forget how the Lord has led us and His teachings in our past history. And how far would that have to go back if we study the teachings in past history? Where would you go to? Where would you start? Where did the Lord start teaching us in our past history? Go clear back to the time of Adam. All right, and I want to add to that this statement, and this is a statement that's really been bombarding my mind in the last couple days. And this is the last page of the introduction of Great Controversy. You know, Ellen White wrote the introduction to one book and the preface to another. This is the only introduction and preface she wrote. She wrote the introduction to Great Controversy and the preface to Mount of Blessings. We would do well to read both of these before we read the books. Amen. And this is the next to the last paragraph of the preface of Great Controversy. It is not so much the object of this book to present new truths concerning the struggle of former times, as to bring out facts and principles which have a bearing on coming events. History is important only as it sheds light on the future. We can go back and spend years digging into what is in the past, but it'll never change one iota of it. But it will do what? Affect our relation to the future and to the present and future. Notice what it says. It is not so much the object of this book to present new truths concerning the struggles of former times as to bring out facts and principles which have a bearing on coming events. And by the way, you know there's a lot of controversy as to the sources of all this material, and great controversy about the historical facts, you know, about plagiarism and all this, about how she quoted from historians. She's not trying to get into dealing with the historical facts. She's dealing with what? With the principles back there that have to do with the future. And it isn't the historical facts that are important, it's the lessons that we learn from there as to what is in the future. Yet viewed as a part of the controversy between the forces of light and darkness, all these records of the past are seen to have a new significance. A what? And through them a light is cast upon the future, illuminating the pathway of those who, like the reformers of past ages, will be called even at the peril of all earthly good to witness for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I want to say some things here. I'm recording this. It's not for general distribution. I'm talking to us here at Oak Haven. I'm talking to myself. You see, folks, let's face the simple fact that probably at the present time there are only four beings in this universe who understand how God's work is going to be finished. Let me say it again. There are probably only four beings in the universe who understand how God's work is going to be finished on this earth. And we know who three of them are, and who's that? The Godhead. And who's the fourth one? No, the devil doesn't know how it's going to be finished. Well, turn with me to Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel. We don't want to guess at anything, do we? Daniel, I'm going to read the last verse of the 10th chapter of Daniel. Now, this is the prophecy. This is the introduction to one of the longest time prophecies in the Bible. Not specific time, but the prophecy that began in Daniel's time and went to the time till Michael stands up. And this is what you find in the last chapters of Daniel, chapters 11 and 12. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. In the what? Now, is that this? No, it isn't the Bible. All right, let's see what it says. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Nobody knows what's in that book except the angel Gabriel and who? Michael. This is not this book. What's in this book is taken from that book.
We have a portion of that book.
Then where is that book? Without a doubt, it's in heaven. And what was given here was taken from that book called the Scripture of Truth. And folks, without a shadow of a doubt, the Godhead wrote out the history of this world in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's in this book and all that are in these books are taken from what?
Great book.
That book up there that nobody has access but Gabriel and Michael. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit and the Godhead, naturally, they have access to that book. And as we get into the records of what the angels made, well, don't you think it's going to be interesting to compare that with the original
manuscript?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that going to be a fascinating study?
Amen.
But the Lord has promised that He will give us everything necessary for our salvation. Are there a lot of things that we're not supposed to delve into? Did anybody get into trouble in delving into things they weren't supposed to know? Where did it start? Oh, it started long before that. Lucifer wanted to enter into what? Into the counsels of God. And why couldn't he? Well, there were two reasons. First of all, he was an angel, and angels, unless it's revealed to them, can't go into enter into the counsels of God.
Amen.
And there was another reason why he couldn't enter into it, and this is perhaps more significant than that. And that was because probably most of these counsels had to do with Lucifer himself. Now listen to this very carefully. Now folks, we're dealing with fundamental things. Look, folks, our business from here on out is to find through the agencies ordained to present them to us what is written in the Scriptures of truth so we'll know how to finish the work. Is it going to be finished exactly according to the way God planned it to be finished?
Yes.
Do you think a lot of people might have an opportunity to enter into it that won't? Do you think God opened opportunities to people who will never fulfill those opportunities? Did Israel have an opportunity to do certain things? Israel could have finished God's work back there and have had the kingdom of God set up in their day if they'd fulfilled their destiny. The people in 1888 could have done that, couldn't they? We would have been in the kingdom, we're told, in 1895 if God's people had done their work. Now, did God know they weren't going to do it? Oh, yes. Remember, there's a difference between predestination and foreknowledge. Let's not get those mixed up. All right, now notice, what I want to read this statement. This is page 934, volume 7 of the Bible Commentary. Let those who are oppressed under a sense of sin remember that there is hope for them. The salvation of the human race has ever been the object of the counsels of heaven. The what? Does the human race loom large in God's plans and His knowledge and His thoughts? Can you imagine, folks, that from all eternity the counsels of God have always been regarding the plans for the saving of the human race? Does that make our relation to it very important? Is there anything in God's mind or in God's plan that's any bigger than saving the human race?
No.
The whole power of the Godhead is turned toward the salvation of the human race and has been ever since sin entered. And how much power is devoted to it?
All.
How much?
All.
What does all mean?
Everything.
Do you understand what God, when God says all power, what it means? No. All right. The covenant of mercy was made before the foundation of the world. It has existed from all eternity and is called the everlasting covenant. Now, I just give you this as a little background. So now, as I said, I'm not so much interested in what the problem is. Chris gave me an article last night. It's very interesting. I had read it before several times. I hadn't read it for years. You know, we need to go back and study some of these things. Brother Atwood told us about an article in his study Friday night. I don't know if you remember, how many of you remember it. An article written by F.M. Wilcox in 1934 and was in the Review. He was the editor of the Review at that time. We should have access to that article. I don't know who wants to take the responsibility, but everybody here should have access to that. Yes. All right. Now I have a letter here written by A.W. Spaulding to L.K. Dixon in the General Conference in 1953. This will curl your hair. He wrote it to him because he didn't want to talk publicly about it. But it's been made public. W.E. Howe wrote an article about the same time that F.M. Wilcox put that in the Review.
What's the date of that letter again?
This letter? This is May 1953. Now, you can get this from Yuchi Pine. Chris just got it. I just read it last night. Now, you see, a lot of people have written about the problem. But that's not the problem. Folks, we need to be understanding the solution. You see, this letter that I'm reading here, and I'm reading the last part of it, I have the whole letter here. Dr. Sutherland wrote to Arthur White in 1952. This came out in 1954. Dr. Sutherland wrote to Arthur White in Washington at the White Publications and asked him to send the context of this statement. Now, as never before, we need to understand the true science of education. You see, folks, I'm dealing with self-supporting work, but I'm not interested in the history of self-supporting work nearly as much as I'm interested in the solution that we have a part in the days that are ahead. And let me tell you something. The solution is going to take a commitment that we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to get in it. We're going to have to get involved. It's going to take a consecration to God that will stand in the face of death. It's going to take an education that we don't know very much about. Now, I want to read a statement now from the commentary, and this is a comment on Luke and the story of John the Baptist. I want to think about this a little bit. This is volume 5 of the commentary, page 1115. In every stage of this earth's history, God has had His agencies to carry forward His work. In what? Do you remember in volume 6? I've got volume 6 here somewhere. No, I haven't got volume 6 here. But let me get volume 6. I could quote it, but I like to read it. I think I can. I just want you, maybe I'll have to, I'm not sure of the page, I wasn't planning to read it, but anyway, it's volume 6, page 332. Now this said what? What was that statement? In every stage of this earth's history, God has had His agencies to carry forward His work, which must be done in His appointed way. And the statement that I want to read is page 332 from volume, page 332 of volume 6. God has His workmen in every age. The call of the hour is answered by the coming of the man. The what? Is answered by what? Are you the man? I don't know. Time will tell. Whenever God wants a job done, He calls a man. He doesn't call institutions. He doesn't call committees. He calls a man. And He trains that man. And He doesn't start training when the call comes. Where do you think the Lord starts when He wants a man? Right? Well, let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. Let's see where God begins in this, according to this case. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I? We talk about, you know, births. Who's responsible for the births in this world?
The Holy Spirit.
What does this say? Who's talking? All right. We can't separate the work of God, of the Godhead. They all work as a team. Perfect unity, perfect harmony. But every being that's born into this world is born by the direct act of the miraculous power of God. They're no accidents. The fact that you're here is absolute proof that you have a job to do.
Amen.
The fact that you were born into this world is proof that God has something for you to do. All right, notice what it says. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Did the Lord choose the right parents for Jeremiah? Did he choose the right parents for Jesus? Did he choose the right parents for John? Did he choose the right parents for Moses? Then the Lord doesn't begin with the individual. He begins where? He knows how to put the genes together. Folks, the Lord puts you together for the purpose of a job. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, folks, we're here because we were ordained of God to do a certain job. Now, can we reject that job? Do we have to do it? Oh, no. It's going to be by our choice. Do you think that the Lord has ever called anybody to do something they didn't do? Oh, no question about it. No question about it. But did the job get done? Why? The Lord always has an understudy. And folks, if I do not do my job, somebody's going to step in and do it. But they're going to get the crown. Because the crown goes with the job. I don't want anybody to take my job, do you? Nobody can take my job unless what? Unless I refuse to do it. Then the Lord has somebody to come right in and take my place. But folks, I don't want to miss that job. All right, now, back to, we were discussing about the work being done. And the Lord has a man for every job on this earth. Well, let me read you another statement. Now, maybe we're getting a little bit off the subject of self-supporting work, but I don't think we are. This is volume 7, and page 25. It says, workers from the ranks. Who does that apply to? That's all of us. I'm glad of that, aren't you? With intense interest, God is looking on this world. One of the prophets told one of the kings, the eyes of the Lord run what?
To and fro
throughout all the earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Are the people going to do the work because they're smart?
No.
Because they have so much talent?
No.
Are they going to do it because they know all the answers? With intense interest, God is looking upon this world. He has noted the capacity of human beings for service. Now look, looking down the ages. Doing what? Looking down the ages, he has counted his workers. Don't you like that? Looking down the ages, he has what? Counted them. Does he know how many there are? You know, somebody came to me and said, Brother Martin, you know, it really doesn't make any sense that God should come up with 144,000 people. I said, why not? Well, how come just that number? I said, well, why not 144,000 and not 144,001? Or 134,999? Look, if I controlled the birth, I wouldn't have any problem coming up with the right number, would I? The number's no problem with God. And I don't know why he chose that number, but folks, don't you think that God originally knew how many people would inhabit this earth? You think they just keep on being born of this earth till they were sitting on top of one another? Why? Of course they would. And I believe God will carry out his plan. He never changes. He knows how many people are supposed to populate this earth, doesn't he? Did you ever read in the Bible where God's people were numbered and sealed? They're what? Does God know anything about the population of this earth?
Yeah.
What does he know? How many of you know how many hairs you had? The Bible says God knows how many hairs you have in your head. See, we don't give God credit for what he knows and what he can do and what he is able to do and what he will do if we cooperate. Looking down the ages, he has counted his workers, both men and women, and has prepared the way before them, saying, I will send my messengers to them, and they shall see great light shining amid the darkness, one to the glory of God, one to the service of Christ. They will use their talents to the glory of my name. They will go forth to work for me with zeal and devotion. Through their efforts, the truth will appeal to thousands in a most forcible manner. And men spiritually blind will receive light and will see of my salvation. Truth will be made so prominent that he who runs may read. Ways will be devised to reach hearts. Some of the methods used in the past will be different from some of the methods used in this work will be different from the methods used in the past. But let no one because of this block the way. Those whom God chooses as workers are not always talented in the estimation of the world. Are not always what? Sometimes he selects unlearned men. To these he gives a special work. I can't reach everybody. You can't reach everybody. But the ones God has called can reach everybody.
Amen.
Now back to the statement that I kind of got off on this. Remember, folks, that probably only four beings in the universe know how this work's going to be finished. And I doubt if any one man knows how it's going to be finished. But I know that every man has a part of it will know what he has to do in it. Is there a difference in knowing how it's going to be finished and knowing what my job is?
Yeah.
And folks, my job is to find out what my work is. Now, back to the statement that I was started reading. And we're not making much progress, are we? I don't ever get all that I want to say, but that's all right. Volume 5 of the commentary, page 1115. In every stage of this earth's history, God has had his agencies to carry forward his work, which must be done in his appointed way. All right, if it's going to be done in his appointed way, who's going to train them? Can anybody else train people to do God's work in God's way? John the Baptist had a special work for which he was born. For which he was what?
Born.
And to which he was appointed. The work of preparing the way of the Lord. His wilderness ministry was a most striking, literal fulfillment of prophecy. There was a great work appointed for the prophet John, but there was no school on the earth with which he could connect. No what?
No school on the earth that he could connect.
But that doesn't make much sense, folks. Somebody has to teach everybody. Yes, they do. But who wants to teach everybody to finish the work? Do you think that I made a misstatement when I said that nobody on the earth knows exactly how God's work is going to be finished? Do you think that's an overstatement? I said, I don't want to just be dogmatic in this, but according to what I read in Daniel, there were only four beings that knew what was in the scripture truth. Was that right? Only Gabriel and Michael, and of course, the other members of the Godhead, they know all about it. Of course, they work as a team. All right, folks, who is going to teach me to do the work that I have to do? Now, there are some things that people can teach us, but notice what it says. There was a great work appointed for the prophet John, but there was no school on the earth with which he could connect. His learning must be obtained away from the cities in the wilderness. You know, that's a real encouragement to me. Must be gained where?
In the wilderness. In the woods.
Huh? I'm glad the Lord gave us a wilderness, aren't you?
Amen.
His education had to be learned where? Away from the cities in the wilderness. But that's not where you go for education. Everybody goes to the city for an education. For the world's work, yes. All right. The Old Testament scriptures. Now, I want you to notice where he got his education. The Old Testament scriptures, God, and the nature which God had created were to be a study book. Do we have anything we can add to that? Well, do we have anything we can add to that? Why, certainly. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have at least 58 books. I just recorded them. We have nature. We have the experiences of man. God's lesson books. Whose lesson books? But you know what the problem is? We're all fundamentally lazy. We're fundamentally lazy. And we're fundamentally unwilling to pay the price of an education. This is a problem. How much are you willing to pay to have a part in the finishing of God's work? Is the Lord finding out who will? Well, of course He is. Is He going to know? Well, it says we shouldn't spend any time trying to figure out who's going to be members of 144,000. Or we shouldn't enter into discussion about it. But you know what the next sentence says? Soon everybody's going to know who are members of 144,000. Should we know something of the characteristics of the 144,000? Oh, yes. Should we want to be members of the 144,000? Strive with all your God-given power to be members of the 144,000. Why? They're the elite of eternity. Because they lived in the last days. They did the special work. You see, there are two messages to go yet that are never gone. Two messages. You know what they are? John the Baptist's message and Jesus' message. And what was John the Baptist's message comparable to? What do we call the message today, John the Baptist's message? Well, I don't think it's Elijah's message. However, I'm just giving you my concept. As I've studied this, here's what I see. We have never yet given the former rain in our generation. It was given to Pentecost. But they lost it back there. Has Pentecost ever been renewed really in power up to this time?
No.
No. Is the early rain going to be renewed, and is the early rain going to go with power today? Oh yes, this is the power of the third angel's message. It is to go with power. And folks, the third angel's message will never go with power. The latter rain will never fall until the fullness of the former rain is understood and accepted and given. Why should you need additional power when we don't have any more, when we don't have used the power we have? And as I look at the picture, the former rain, the third angel's message, is the antitype of John's message. Then the message of Jesus must go, and that is medical missionary work. I made the statement. I want to make it again. Jesus' ministry is the ultimate in relation to this world's need. The world needs what it needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of the character of God. A revelation of the character of God. And it's going to be made manifest by the former rain plus the latter rain. All right? Did Jesus receive the latter rain? What is the latter rain? It's the Holy Spirit without limit. It's the limitless power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit without measure. Did Jesus have the Spirit without measure? Where did He get it? At Pentecost. Where did He get the preparation for it? Well, where did He get it? Jesus didn't get it in heaven. He had to get it where? On this earth. Where did Jesus get the preparation for the latter rain in His ministry? In the carpenter shop, of course. In the carpenter shop. Isn't that the only training He ever had up to that time? Did He ever sit in the schools of the rabbis?
No.
No. Who taught Him?
His
mother started Him out, probably taught Him how to read and write, and probably taught Him a few principles. But who taught Jesus? He was taught by God and the angels, the heavenly intelligences. He was taught in the school of Christ.
That's right.
Folks, where are we going to get the training for the latter rain?
In the school of Christ.
In the schools of men? We may have gone through the schools of men, but that is not where the training comes. The training comes where? In the school of what?
I'm the doctor of the school of Christ.
In the school, how many of you have ever made a study from the Spirit of Prophecy, the subject, the schools of Christ, or the school of Christ? Ever gone into it and studied what it meant to be in the school of Christ? Have you ever made a study of that? Well, folks, we ought to do it. Because the training for finishing God's work is in the school of Christ. Do you think there are people who've gone through the schools of men that never entered the school of Christ? Let me read you a little interesting statement. You know, this statement is a statement that started me really studying many years ago. When I read this statement, and I'd had a lot of worldly education, and I was reading the book Fundamentals of Christian Education, and I read this statement, and it just shocked me. It just knocked me off my balance. 346 of the book Fundamentals of Christian Education, and it's in a chapter, Speedy Preparation. Men who are seeking efficiency for the exalted work of God by perfecting their education in the schools of men will find that they have failed of learning the more important lessons which the Lord would teach them. By what? Now listen. Now folks, I'm not downgrading the school. Although our schools are not doing what they should do, there's no question about that. Now listen to this. By neglecting to submit themselves to the impressions of the Holy Spirit, by not living in obedience to all God's requirements, by not what? In obedience to what? All of God's requirements, their spiritual efficiency has become weakened. They have lost what ability they had to do successful work for the Lord. Where'd they lose it? In the schools of men. By absenting themselves from the school of Christ. Now they've enrolled in the schools of men, but they haven't enrolled in what? By absenting themselves from the school of Christ, they have forgotten the sound of the voice of the teacher. And he cannot direct their course. Let me tell you, folks, the tragedy of all ages that's culminating in our day is that the one thing that education was set up to teach us, we have not learned. Do you know what that is? Well, let me read from this little article. Now as never before, we need to understand the true science of education. Let me read just the sentence before. I'm not going to get into the whole article. Just want to read the sentence. Time and money are spent in gaining useless knowledge. Getting what? Do you know how much tests tell that people remember of what they learned in their formal education? 5%. We spend years and years and years studying what we only remember 5% of. This has been tested over and over again. We just don't remember it. We only remember what we use. I was teaching in Madison several years ago, and a mother was teaching her son. And she came to me, and she said, "Brother Martin, I'm really confused." I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "I'm trying to teach my son some things that I had in school, and he's learning it so much faster than I am. He's just way ahead of me. I can't keep up with him." I said, "Did you have it in school?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "What did you do with it?" She said, "Nothing." I said, "What'd you teach it to him for?" I said, "What you learned in school that you've forgotten, don't worry about giving it to your son. Don't make a sieve out of his mind so he just forgets something too. You see, what we learn and don't keep makes a sieve out of our mind. Makes it so it just floats right through, you see. We were intended to learn things and remember them forever. Does that make sense? If we put the right things in it, will they ever go out? No. All right, now here's the next part of it. The mind should be carefully and wisely taught to dwell upon Bible truth. The main object of education should be to gain a knowledge of how we can glorify God, whose we are by creation and redemption. Now, here's the statement. The result of education should be to enable us to understand the voice of God. Does that mean that when I read this, I understand it? Well, partially. But what does it mean to understand the voice of God? It means that God can communicate with me. And what does He want to communicate with me? He wants to communicate with me the preparation for my work and when I'm ready to go into it and where I'm supposed to go. Isn't that a part of it? Yeah.
The general principles that we need to understand, the Lord's laid down in the Bible.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit can speak to us through this.
That's right.
Those. Where we need His direct instruction is in knowing how to apply those to our own individual faith.
You see, if I have two things to do and both of them are good, what do I have to know? Well, people come to Brother Martin and say, "What do you think?" I said, "What I think doesn't mean a thing in the world. Has nothing to do with it." Everywhere I go, people come to me and lay out their problems and say, "Brother Martin, what do you think I should do?" Well, bless your heart, I have all I can do to find out what I'm supposed to do. If I find that out, I've done a good job. The Lord never gave me the job of telling other people what they should do. He never gave anybody that job. Did you know the prophet herself wouldn't even tell people that?
That's right.
Did you ever read a statement that says that? See, folks, the whole purpose of education was to know what God wants us to do. To prepare us for it, and when the time was to move, to make the move. Or if it was to stand still, to stand still. And where did Jesus learn all that? In the carpenter shop. Do you know how Jesus got His call? It's a very interesting statement. The book of Desire of Ages, it says it was told in the carpenter shop that had been Joseph that there was a prophet over there by the River Jordan preaching a strange message. And it says he understood the call. Maybe the village gossip came along and said, "Have you heard about that over there?" And when he heard that, he knew that was his call. God didn't talk to him from heaven. He laid aside his tools, told his mother goodbye, and headed for the River Jordan. Folks, God doesn't shout to us from heaven in thunder. He wants us. He told Elijah that, you know. There was a storm and an earthquake and a flood. And then what? Still small voice. Folks, don't we need to know that still small voice? That will never lead us astray. And the whole purpose of education was to understand the voice of God. And when we have learned that, folks, we have got this, we have gotten a hold of the absolute principle of success in God's Word. Well, when I was a boy, I used to think, I wasn't even converted. And I used to read about Abraham, I'd say, well, Lord, if you would tell me what I want to do, nothing in the world could stop me. Well, I could just lower my head and go through a stone wall. Folks, nothing can stop us if we know we're doing God's will, is that right? But the thing that bothers us all is what? Confusion as to what God wants us to do. Yeah.
Part of that may be caused by not doing His will and the things that He's revealed.
Oh. All right, one more statement. Our time is gone. This one is from the book Counsels to Teachers. I've got it here somewhere. I think I have. Maybe I don't. David struck right on the key to this. There's a statement in on page 97 of the book Counsels to Teachers. Listen very carefully. If we ever know the truth, it will be because we practice it. Because we what? Look, folks, if the Lord has already told me to do something, I don't care what it is, and I haven't done it, don't ask God for guidance. Because if you get close enough to Him, He'll talk so He can talk to you. Say, you remember back there I told you to do something. Now do that, and then I'll tell you something else. God doesn't confuse us by telling us two things at a time. Did you know the Holy Spirit convicts us of one thing at a time? The devil tells us you're a dirty old sinner. The Lord says through His Holy Spirit, now you at a certain time did a certain thing. Now you straighten that out. There's no question about it. Folks, the voice of God comes because we cultivate listening to the voice of God. I remember very well, in one stage of my experience, I'd lost my way and I had to be rebaptized. I'd been rebaptized twice, and I don't want to get into that. But I'd been rebaptized, and I said, Lord, now where do I start? I was doing so many things that I knew were wrong, and I said, Lord, where do I start? Well, you ask the Lord where to start. He'll tell you. And you know what? It just came as clear as, quit eating between meals. I said, all right, Lord. And then I said, what next? And He told me what next. And then He told me what next. And after a while, there was nothing left. And then the Lord told me what to do. You see, folks, between us and the latter rain, between us and the latter rain are two things. Our carpenter shop training and our temptation in the wilderness. Was that between Jesus and His ministry? And what was the first temptation? Appetite. If Jesus had failed in that, would He have ever had a ministry?
No.
What was the next one? Presumption. And what was the next one? Loving the world. Folks, until we get our training in the carpenter shop so we can overcome those three things, we'll never have a part in the finishing of God's work. And folks, these are the things that self-supporting work has been established. It's easier to take care of those things in a place like this than anywhere else in the world. Did you know that? Really? It's easier. You know why? Because we're removed from a lot of the things. If there ever was a place where we should have victory over appetite, it's here. We have good diet. Now, I just tell you these things, folks, because God is getting people ready. He's calling people, and I believe that just as sure as I'm here, that every person in this room has been called to help finish God's work. I believe that. But you're going to be tested first. And you're going to be tested on these points. And the Lord's going to find out how much you're willing to pay. It's going to take a commitment far beyond anything we know.
It's going to take study habits we've never developed. Why did the Lord tell people under Moses, study, read when you're sitting by the wayside, when you're walking, when you're traveling? How often were they to keep those things before them? Everywhere they went. They were to put them as frontlets between their eyes. Folks, we need to have study habits. We need to, as individuals, know God's work for us. We need to get together as families and study. We need to get together as an institutional family and spend some time sitting down and studying. What does God want us to do? I believe, folks, that God has established this institution to train people for the latter rain. I believe that. And there are several reasons why I believe it. First, I know how the Lord established this institution. And that's what it was established for. There's another thing that's very interesting in this institution. It does not have a organized, already outlined plan of education. And I think that's a real blessing. I think it's time we got into it. The type of education the Lord wants. It needs to be very simple. And the other thing, and did you know that through the years we have tried over and over and over again to establish education here, and every time the Lord has just blocked it right in its tracks. We had a woman headed up one time, and she was possessed with a devil before she started that. Now that's a strange thing to think, but this actually happened. We've had three doctors here. We've never really got a medical program started. I believe the Lord wants to train some people here to do it directly from His own instruction. Do we have access to what Jesus had? Now, am I talking too straight? Folks, I believe God wants to teach us. I don't believe He wants us to go to anybody else. Because most people already have their pattern set. And I don't believe the pattern is set for training people for finishing God's work. I think that He wants us to set a pattern. Just by getting together. Well, my time's gone. Over. But folks, these are serious things. And I believe every person in this room has been called as an individual to have a part in the finishing God's work. And I believe you will have if you're willing to pay the price. It's going to cost you everything. The tuition in the school of Christ is not money, it's you and everything you have. But are there going to be rewards? God says, you give me everything you have and I'll give you everything I have. That's a good deal. Isn't it? All right. Who'd like to pray? Brother Healy and Brother Volksich.
Our Father in Heaven, we're thankful for history this morning and for the principles that you've outlined for each one of us. And we're thankful that you love us as individuals, and that you've called us and you've prepared a place for us to labor for you.
Amen.
We pray that we might listen to your voice today, that we might study the different areas, the scriptures, nature, and the daily experiences of life, and be able to recognize your call to us. Guide and direct our thoughts and our minds today, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father in Heaven, we thank you that you know the end of the beginning. We thank you that you know just exactly the way that we can be saved. We pray that you would take us today, just now, being what we are, with all the imperfections of our past life. We pray that you will not take these things against us. We pray that you will use them to the glory of your finishing work. Lead us and teach us, we pray.
Amen.
We wish to be willing to be co-workers with you. In the name of the Son Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
see you again.
Good to see you. How's everything going?
It's great in the Lord. I want to thank the Lord that